Hello again. There we are rolling. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We buy and sell forms of rare coins and precious metals. I always say scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds because we do a lot of that, etc. We sell that stuff too. We do a lot of consultative diamond sales. I think people who deal with me find it to be very rewarding. It's just a different experience. I mean, we have diamonds, a nice selection, and we also have access to beautiful rings and whatever you want. But we do it at a wholesale pace. It's a whole different deal. It's not come in and look through the showcases. We have tons of inventory too, but there's never what you want. So we do a lot of wholesale ordering from a USA company out of New Orleans or area or wherever they are, Lafayette. They're one of the, I think, the biggest in the world. And then there's a number of others we use too. But the nice thing about it is that we get them so cheap. And I use that word lightly. Inexpensive is more appropriate. But it's a good product, and we can focus on the diamonds, and we sell you diamonds for what they're worth. Not the retail. We don't depend on them. We don't care. I mean, I want to provide a really good service for people, and that's why I do it. I don't do it for, it really isn't a monetary thing. So we have a real tight spread on diamonds, which very few people do. And you have to understand, it's an exponential curve. People will hear me talk and they'll come in with, oh, I have a really nice diamond. And they'll come in with like a little half carat or 4-pointer, 40-pointer. Well, yeah, it's got some value, but not much. Most of what we sell is 1 carat and up. And we like to hit in that value-based. I mean, I have all kinds of investment-grade diamonds. And frankly, folks, if you want to join the elite, the rich, it is. We are so much more than you realize. We are moving into the hard asset era, okay? I mean, people, you should see prices of stuff. So I grew up around aircraft more than most. I mean, to the point where I grew up, my family owned part of a charter service, and I got to spend countless weekends in a Bell Jet Ranger 210 long helicopter doing crazy stuff in Montana, going out to big 50,000 acre ranches and shooting coyotes from the helicopter for the ranchers back in the early 80s. The pelts at the time were $200 to $400 a piece, and then the ranchers would pay us to get rid of them because they're terrible, and there was a huge overflow of them. And so I got a lot of access to that. I got to mimic or mirror a really good military ex-Vietnam fighter pilot. And then I also grew up in planes and just a lot of exposure. So I'm always interested in aircraft, and I've taken all the ground schools and done, you know, all the time. And then I kind of let it all lapse. But I've looked at just getting an airplane, just a plane, just something to buzz around, because I'm so sick of this face mask stuff. Planes are very expensive, but for good reason. I mean, the companies have you captive, and there is a lot of safety requirements brought down by the FAA. And whenever an aircraft goes down, they do extensive, in-depth research to figure out why. So if there's anything to learn, they learn it, etc. So, and then you have to keep them updated. It's very expensive. You got to have a hangar. The fuel's expensive. They burn a ton of fuel. But they're cool, you know, and they get you where you want to go. Long story longer, aircraft has doubled in the last 2 years. A friend of mine had a plane that we were talking about me getting, and then they were getting another one, and they, in the pilot that, or the guy that was helping him out, the broker or whatever, was like, hey, you're going to have to bid on this one. So they thought it'd be at a certain level. They bid 30% over what it should be, and it sold to a bidder who paid about 85 or 90% over what it should be. That's one. Okay, luxury vehicles. All used cars have gone up. Luxury vehicles especially. You want to get into baseball memorabilia, any, you know, baseball cards, rare coins, quality coins, everything. Okay, real estate, you all know about that. So let's back up. And diamonds, too, is where I was going, obviously, right? Diamonds, quality, investment-grade diamonds have gone well. The main issue, excuse the throat, this is just my life now. It's called winter dehydration, I suppose. I'm drinking water as I speak. But anyway, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And dogs are a man's best friend. So, I don't know. I have to figure that one out. I think the problem is diamonds are a girl's best friend, they say. But the guy has to buy it for the girl. The guy also has to buy the dog. So, I guess the guy should put diamonds on his dog or something. I don't know. Diamonds, you know, good quality investment grade diamonds, it's a good thing to have. And I mean, it's just worth it. You know, there's people that are like, oh, I can never wear a big, nice ring. Yeah, you can. It doesn't have to be that big. One carat diamond is a small thing. And if you think about it, it's so neat. The reason they pick diamonds for weddings and stuff is, it's the absolute manifestation. A marriage is the manifestation of a man. Well, you got that part, the man and the woman. Hopefully that's where I'll end it. But it is basically a representation of Christ in the church. Okay, the man, it's like guys come in, oh, my girl, she just wants a 1/1,000,000th carat diamond inside of a teeny weensy little blue, you know. And I'll be like, is that how Christ treats his church? I mean, if the church goes, Lord, all we want is just two noodles for today, you know, Jesus, it says he will bless us beyond what we can ask or imagine. Well, that is the husband's job when he's proposing. When a woman goes around and tells a man, I want this ring from this place at this price with this and that, Christ, I mean, the church doesn't do that to Christ. It's a gift. And if you're heading that direction in your life, keep your mouth shut. Don't, well, I don't know what to pick. I want to take her out. Yeah, good luck. Take her out shopping. It just takes all the sizzle out of it. I mean, in my opinion, okay? I think that a lot of it should be a surprise. It should be, because think about it, it's a surprise gift. It's a big deal. And you set up the proposal so she doesn't see it coming. And then you buy her something nice. You know, I mean, you do something beyond what she could ask or imagine, right? I think that's representative. And I'm just saying, and that doesn't have to be a small fortune. Rings that you can go to Zales or all these mall stores and literally pay $10, $11, $12, $13,000 for, we can do for $2,500. And they're nice. You know, and our diamonds are way better. Theirs are just garbage. So just be aware of that. Gold and silver, this is those things attributed as true wealth in the Bible. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Precious stones, and I always cap that off, I say, look, yes, precious stones have value, okay? But that is an absolute abyss that you cannot go into. I can hardly go into it. I really can barely handle it. There are so many gemstones on this planet. And there's so many different ways of grading their, not just their clarity, but their vividness and color. And, I mean, you get down where there's sapphire and corundum and ruby and, you know, and there's now there's synthetic stuff all over. synthetic diamonds all over. This is the thing that's really getting ridiculous, is they're creating fake diamonds now. And they're all inscribed, and you got to deal with someone who knows what they're doing. You don't go online. I mean, I know a guy who, a kid who went and bought a cubic zirconium for his proposal. I hope that he never gives that. And he said, well, she'll never know, but you do. And that's just terrible. I'm sorry I even repeat that stuff. But, you know, it's all about integrity and quality and standards and how high you set the bar and what are you shooting for, you know? And you gotta, I've said lately, if you can't conceive it, you can't achieve it. And you gotta be able to think big. There is nothing more dissatisfying or distasteful than a man who just figures, who behaves in a manner that says, if I don't try, I can't fail. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I was talking to someone today on some work they were doing on some project, and I said, I'm not the kind of guy where good enough works. Because if you stack up a bunch of good enoughs, you get a really bad enough. And I'm not into it. But as men, people, I mean, there are those who are going to coast through life mooching off of others and sucking off the system and, you know, and shame on you. I mean, shame on you. And I'm saying mooching. I'm not saying if you have a legitimate disability, that's our responsibility to take care of you, in my opinion, easily. But if you're just a mooch, and, you know, I've talked to people where they say, well, you know, that's the problem. I was talking to my nephew, and he said that it's really hard because he can make more money not working than he can working. Well, that's what the system wants right now, isn't it? And that, my friends, is destroying his integrity and character. Do you think that a man who does that can actually feel good about himself? I'm going to go with no. I'm pretty confident they can't. I don't care who you are. People, we can acclimate ourselves to tolerate the intolerable, but we're not made for it. God did not invent us that way. He didn't create us that way. It's funny when I say invent us, because people think, well, we're not an invention. We sure are. We're an invention by someone who's a heck of a lot smarter than you or I, I'll tell you that. But, you know, the whole thing is he made us to prosper. He made us to be amazing. He made us to have accountability for what we accomplish. Taking responsibility and accountability is everything, man. I mean, it's like step up to the plate and take responsibility. You get the different kinds of personalities. It's hard when you're committing your life to being an employee, but at the same time, you want to be a stellar leader. And what's important is you try. You stretch yourself, you push yourself, you become the best you can. It's never about that jerk you work for. It's never about Biden. It's never about, I hear this stuff all the time. People get so bent out of shape that they no longer take responsibility. You got to have the balance to see what's going on around you and still take complete and total responsibility for your life, you know? And that's a hard balance for some people, I've found, that they get all bent out of shape one way or the other, and they start to make excuses for being irresponsible, you know? Each man, Romans 14:12, will give account of himself to God. You're not, God isn't going to hear your story about your wife or your husband or your boss or whatever. He's going to have you in a white flash protected space that you can't even remember any other issue that ever occurred, and you're going to have a spotlight, and you're not going to see anything other than your own actions. I had a wild vision about that quite a while ago after a small group one night. I woke up and I had that vision. And it was, I don't know, we were talking about all kinds of things with judgment and everything. And I had this vision, I've discussed it before, but I went up a like, you know, the tunnel that people say, like, I died, but you aren't dead, right? Your spirit. And I went up and I stood in this place, and it was like a very immediate flash, like being a celebrity and walking out of a building. And I know I've been with them when they have. I'll maybe tell that story in a sec. But anyway, the flashing lights type thing, pop, 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 pop. And you're just there. And every single thing I'd ever done went through my mind. And it was a trip, trust me. And then I could see spirits going off one direction. And then I heard a voice, and I didn't even recognize, you know, exactly what it was, but it claimed me. And it was Christ. And then I went off the other direction. And there were people just basically being ejected out into who knows what it was, dark, utter darkness, where it was ugly. Yeah, it was bad. I won't get into all the details of it. I was going to say the celebrity thing when, might as well, maybe a decade ago, my wife and I were in New York. We used to actually like to go to New York. It's pretty fun. It used to be. It's disgusting now. It's a pig pen. And it's interesting because I believe that the trade towers were Mystery Babylon that were collapsed. I believe that there's a whole bunch of scripture that makes that clear, Rev 17 and 18, and the whole tie-in of Islam and all that stuff. And then Revelations 14, you know, it goes through the hour of his wrath has come, and you take 1,000 years as a day, and a day is 1,000 years, and you divide 1,000 years into days and then into hours, and you end up with 40-ish years plus a tinkle. And if you add that to the collapse of, well, if you add, well, anyway, so the hour of his wrath has come. If you add that onto the 2001 event, it puts us at like 2041 or 2 or 3 or something. And then you also look at Christ said, hey, this generation that sees the regathering of Israel will not pass away until they see the coming, the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. And that was 67 officially, in my opinion. Everybody goes back to 1948. 48, post-World War II, is when they began to allow the Jews to head back into the land, okay? There was no regathering. There was no, you know, when he says, take the parable of the fig tree. It says when it begins to blossom and bear fruit. Well, when Israel pounded everybody in 67 in the Six-Day War, it was barren fruit. 48, it wasn't barren fruit. 48, there were stragglers beginning to come in going, are we cool? Are we good? You know? And I really think that, and the United Nations accepted them as a nation in 67, et cetera. So I personally believe that is where we're at in the overall scheme of things. And I think that financially, I guess we'll do that, but if you go gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, all these things somehow are getting so expensive. And you know how it talks about inflation at the end times, right? It talks about, you know, what does it say? About the, you know, like a certain amount of bread for a day's wage, and it talks about how bad things are. And I really think sincerely that it's telling us that there's going to be hyperinflation. So what does that tell you? Cryptos. You know, what's it tell you about cryptos? I mean, it's not saying there's a little secret loophole. It's hyperinflation. And even precious metals, they've stayed relatively steady. They'll move and hold, move and hold. I mean, if you've been watching metals for 20 years, like 30 years, whatever you want to call it, like I have, I mean, $1,800 gold, that's solid. It's just the problem is it hits 2,000 and then it goes down to 1,800 or 1,700 and back to 18, and everybody's like, oh, it's down, man. What's wrong with gold, man? It's like, what's wrong with gold? Everybody wants everything to just be like this skyrocket performer, you know, like Bitcoin was, or this crazed stock market, this Dow Jones pile. It's ridiculous. It is not, it's just not sensible. What goes up must come down. Many countries have been through it. What happens is we have gotten so bad, you know, at, well, here's a scripture I tripped over. When the Lamb, it's Rev 6, 5 and 6, it looks like. Let me go in here. Let's see, well, anyway, I'll read it here. I'm going to open another page. Copy that bad boy. Sorry. See, just remember, you're always listening to Joe Hunky Dory whenever you're on the radio with me here. So I'm not as advanced in particular. Sixth seal. The third seal. Sorry. Revelation 6:5. The third seal. Famine. When he broke the third seal. Let's read these other two. This is Rev 6. I haven't studied these. I'm not doing a dissertation on them. Let's just read them. Starting in 6:1. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Well, imagine who that might be, right? And let's see. So then we got, when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And that's coming. That's the red, the Islamic wrath. Third, when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil or the wine. Interesting, right? A quart of wheat, you know what a quart is? I mean, it's small, it's the size of a grapefruit, of wheat. For a denarius was a day's wage at the time. Which by today's standards, you know, average American, I mean, it's $150. The average person's, you know, probably making what, I suppose, average is probably $20 an hour, I guess, at least, 2022, nationwide, if not higher, because the big, the high, the, you know, but it, even if you go median income, I'm guessing 22 an hour, I could look that up, but anyway, so you figure a day's wage, 8 hours at $22 an hour, that's $176 a day. So they're saying it, the inflation that hits is, you know, a quart of wheat. What do you do with wheat? You have to grind it up, and then you use it to make flour, and then you make some bread. That's just wheat. That's garbage. Wheat's cheap, boys. You know, it's X amount of bushel. It's just cheaper than cheap right now. I mean, if you even realize how inexpensive actual raw wheat is, it's crazy. And they're saying for a day's wage. So be prepared. Where am I going with this? Just hard assets. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else is doing, to be going, how much did that go up? How much did that go up? Did it go up? Did it go up? Did it go up? Did it go up? I'm going to watch it. I was watching it 3 times a day, but now I'm watching it 8 times a day. You know, you don't do that. You secure your wealth. I call it wealth and capital preservation. Just secure it. Gold and silver, livestock. You want a cow? Go get one, but if you better be ready to take care of it. Real estate, you know about that. Land, there's all kinds of things. You can create income property. I know people that are doing that. It's very expensive. Trust me, if you're getting into commercial anything, just get it done. Tear that Band-Aid off and get it generating revenue. Right now, there's so many things, rentals, storage units, whatever. There's so many different ways to make a buck. And I'm not recommending you get into something. Folks, so many people I've learned, they just don't have the mindset for these things. There's so much that goes into them. For example, renting. I just spoke to a gentleman here, I don't know, a week or two ago, who's just getting taken to the cleaners by a few renters because he's got the heart of gold. And they give him these sad sob stories. And I'm like, look, that is not the way it works. It doesn't matter. They signed a contract, and if they can't fulfill it, then they have to go. And if the person has integrity, they should take care of that themselves. They should not be laying that onto their landlord. It's too much burden. It's integrity. Think about how the world would be if everyone did that. If everyone just pushed and stretched and leaned and cheated and wasn't, you know. And I'll find believers that do this stuff, folks. I spent years in banking. I had to learn a lot. And what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. What's good is good. What's bad is bad, period. If you give your name, do it, period. Psalms 15. Who can dwell in the holy hill of the Lord? You know, and the number 5 is he who swears to his own hurt and completes it. In other words, you don't mean to hurt yourself when you give your oath. But if you give your oath, you give your name, you give your word, you want God to bless you, or do you just want to take care of it all yourself? People who take care of it all themselves don't seem to get too far in life. I call it spiraling inward. Kind of like, I want to find myself. Good luck. That used to be a big thing in the 70s. Keep looking, because you're not going to like what you find a bit. But you spiral inward or you spiral outward? You spiral outward and your sphere of influence is growing. And God will do that. If you're faithful with little, he'll give you much. And if you want much. And you know, a lot of people aren't made for it. I've been around this world a little bit and I've dealt with money, and it's not a bad thing. People have certain knacks and certain talents, okay? But some people are so gullible. Just so gullible. I've seen it where I spoke to a lady recently after multiple mistakes she's made with her finances. And I said, don't listen to these people anymore. Don't talk to them. Don't let them talk to you. Blah, blah, blah. Guess what? And there we go again. You know, and here she goes again. And down that road again. And it's like, well, they said this and that. So she basically has a lack of a skeptical regulator and can't hear people's, she can't consider the fact that people have bias and that they have intentions, certain intentions, and that you can't trust their intentions. And even if their intentions are good, it doesn't mean it's right for you. So, anyway, precious metals are a good place to park your money, to save it, to just let it exist, okay? That's the precious metals portion, and we do balanced portfolios. It's a full sector, you know. There's things that fall into it, and there's things that are really cool, Morgan silver dollars and things like that, and they've been a lot more difficult to get in, but there's just things that are semi-numismatic, whatever. We build portfolios. That's a good place to have money parked. Real estate has its advantages. Believe me, I've got my share. And the taxes are brutal. The upkeep is brutal. You know, maintenance is brutal. Heating, you got the whole program. It's not without its disadvantages. And people say, well, my real estate went up this much and gold only went up this much. Yeah, but how much are you spending? The biggest issue is when you buy a home or whatever, when the value of the home goes up, you got more taxes to pay. And man, do they know how to charge taxes in this state, right? So that's just one thing to keep in mind. You don't want to keep yourself stretched. You just, if you know, you get the point, right? So you're not probably going to be raising livestock. Some of you are, and good for you. You got the real estate component. Human life is obvious. Don't be capturing and kidnapping people. That's not what I mean for ransom. What I mean is humans are the only creation of God by God that create wealth. We're created in His image, and we are told that our ability to create is what makes us in His image. And so humans, if you have a business or whatever, people make you money if they're good. If they're not good, they can lose your money too, because they're dynamic individuals. And there's people out there, I've run into all kinds of stuff with people and employees, and I just don't understand it fully. It's just a difficult proposition, especially in a unique business like we're in. And so we have to have a pretty high level of expertise and a desire towards that level of expertise, which is apparently becoming really hard to find. As far as, you know, there's, it's just getting to the point where you'll find people, kids in their mid-30s, still living at home, and they really are kids, and they, we all need to leave and cleave, and we got to get out. I mean, there may be Asian cultures that do it, but those cultures happen to have severe poverty issues, and they're not Judeo-Christian nations. They're living in a different, a whole different system of thought. But America is about going out and making your way in the world. And it's like, oh, it's too hard. You know what? It actually has been too hard for a long time. I mean, that's why kids, they get out, they go to school, they do whatever they do, they get an apartment and share it with a few people and live hard and work hard and put money away. And then when the day comes, they can buy a house and up you go and you get married and every, you know, that's life. The expectation of kids, if you will, now is so high as far as what they think they deserve in order to make it worthwhile for them to move out. It's based too much upon the fact that they're getting some kind of compensation, whether it's from parents or the government or whatever. I mean, it's just there, it's just not right. I mean, it's life is life, you know, and the best thing you can do as a parent is to create the best citizen that you can to meet society head on in so many ways, including verbal diplomacy, the ability to articulate their thoughts and orate what they're thinking, writing, all those things, excuse me, are super important. I think it's, and that's what God wants us to be. God sets us free. He gives us liberty. And He helps us to become who we are supposed to be. That is what America is all about. Our founders set up a nation that intended to be a nation of capitalism, a nation of freedom, a nation of the ability to pursue your you know, needs, wants, and desires, if you will, your talents. And they had to fight, like, you know what, to get that done. And it was hard. And we were just loaded with godly men at the beginning. It's a fact. I don't care what people tell you. People can look on Google. If they're looking to refute something, they can always find something stupid that'll agree with them, but it isn't legit. You know, if you really look into it, like David Barton's done a wonderful job with so much information. He's very good at what he does, and he's got a nice breakdown of the faith of our founding fathers, and it's extensively deep. This country's founded on it. I mean, you're living, folks, in the most prosperous time, in the most prosperous nation, and most powerful godly Christian nation that has existed in humankind. The culmination of all things God made, right? America. The United States of America. God bless her soul. And you are partakers in this, okay? When you look at what people consider, there's different ways of doing varieties of mortality tables, and I don't have a calculator, but I'm going to buzz through this in my head. Pre-flood, antediluvian history says we could have had up to 12 billion, I would estimate that's accurate, up to 12 billion people who died in the flood. You know, you got 20 billion or whatever it would take to get to that point or more. And then from that point forward, and then we know there was corruption and evil and everything when God destroyed the earth. And then from that point forward, we kind of redid everything. We're currently at a state of about 8 billion people. Depending on who you talk to or what mortality tables you run, there's arguments of anywhere from 12 to 18 billion have existed post-flood. Probably closer to 16, whatever. So 16 billion people. You live in a country of 300 million, right? Which is, well, here we go. Now I got to have a calculator, right? Let me, 16. So it's basically, the percentages are just astounding. I'm going to have to do this real quick. So I'm going to go, let's go 16 billion. Let's just say that's a good number. So if I go 16 billion, sorry I do this on the air, but life goes on. Okay, and then we'll divide by 300 million. Is one out of, I didn't do that right. 16 billion, here we go. We are eating up time now, aren't we? Okay, divided by, oh man. See, I'm used to using these Hewlett-Packard calculators. And they use reverse Polish notation, and I'm using a regular calculator. And this is my last try. Let's see. Okay. So you have about 1/2 or 1/50 of 1% of a chance of being where you are today. So 1/50 of 1%, so you're 1 out of 5,000 or 1 out of 50,000, whatever it is, the odds of you being here today. God chose you for this day. He chose you for this place. We don't, even though the numbers of his creation astound us and they baffle us and blow our minds, we don't think that we're just sitting here at random. He cares about each and every one of us. Why do we have such a deeply sensitive God-seeking spirit within us? So the numbers astound us. That's what I'm saying, is it just becomes overwhelming. You're like, how could any God ever know who I am? And, you know, I don't want to get into all that. My brain, because of the math background, that's, I've dealt with plenty, okay? And so, but it's all relative. It's all relative. When you move to another dimension, large numbers become small. So, but anyway, you just need to realize you're in a place. Plus, when you add in all the technology of the times and, you know, all of the things we're dealing with and we're facing end times in so many ways than I ever have, even as a kid before I was a believer and I would try to study the Bible. and figure out what's going on and where we're going. I mean, back then, things weren't making sense. You could kind of start guessing. I think now things are becoming crystal clear. So, what I was getting at a minute ago, that there's going to be hyperinflation. And there, to me, there appears to be every indicator of it in our midst as we speak. It's out of control. We have, I believe, we have a band of thieves headed up by, you know, literally the George Soros clan, the Hillary Clintons, Obama. They're basically using, George Soros has like over 400 websites. He's got young activists filling them up with trash every day, lies, and they're all duplicated, so therefore they self-verify, if you will, self-confirm, because people will see multiples of the same articles and stories. He's feeding off the vitriol of like Hillary Clinton, who just can't get over the fact that she lost her election to Trump, and he drug her through the mud. And she's an elitist, and she just can't accept the fact that she got her tail handed to her. And then you have the rest of them, Adam, that shifty shift, you know, these major, major liars. I wouldn't be surprised if God's already taken some hard runs at Adam Schiff, and that he's hanging by threads that we haven't even heard of yet, because the arrogance, the pomposity in the face of our nation, the lies and deception, I just watch God take those people down. I don't quite understand the Clinton dynasty, why they've lasted the way they have, but, you know, it's a matter of time. Let's hope. So, these people are trying to single-handedly disassemble America with hyperinflation. They're just doing everything to destroy the country so they can get their pound of flesh out of people, out of the government, out of everything. We're at a level of hyperinflation, folks. Obama took us from at least the appearance of fiscal conservatism to the appearance of complete apathy, where we don't even care anymore. We just pump the cash out. Like, now we're into this new word, the trillion word. What in the world? None of us can even fathom that. It's so far beyond stupid, and they want more, and they want more, and they want more, and more, and more, and more, and it never ends. And then what do? They're just trying so hard, and everything's dirty pool. Keep your eyes over here. You know, magicians, when they're moving their hands all over, have you ever listened to them? They're going to tell you what to watch. They're going to say, watch the hand. Watch the hand. Watch it. See where it goes. Okay, you better not be watching the hand. They're telling you to watch the hand. The trick's already taken place. And so they make you like a little dog watching the ball. Hey, where's the ball? Where'd the ball? Where'd the ball go? And they've already moved it to the other hand or whatever, into their pocket or out of their pocket, whatever they're doing. This is the same thing that we have going on. How about this January 6th commission? They're going to run this bad boy. So it started January 6th of 22, because you have these leaders, Pelosi, and Adam Shifty Schiff, and Schumer, and whoever else. These fools go down. Oh, and then we had Kamala, the most wonderful speaker ever, come out and say, well, look, there's 3 days that need to go down in infamy in this nation. 3 days, folks. One is D-Day, the day Pearl Harbor was bombed. The next one, 9/11. And on top of that, January 6th. Like, what? You lose two massive trade towers, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, at the beginning and more later from, you know, suffocation or whatever, or, you know, respiratory ailments. And then you go back D-Day when they bombed Pearl Harbor, D-Day. And you're going to compare that to the January 6th, quote, insurrection. And they're doing this probe or this investigation, and it's a lie from the pit of H. And you've got Liz Cheney, who's supposedly a Republican, heading it up. She's a rhino in every way. Reason being, Donald J. Trump made Liz Cheney's daddy mad, which is Dick Cheney, and he is a vindictive gentleman, I believe. And they won't quit. They just keep going. So what? They feed us a lie, a narrative that's not true. And where do we look? Over there. Look over there. Oh, look. It's an insurrection. Okay, what if it's not? And you disagree. Well, you're still arguing about it and fighting about it. And you're not paying attention to whatever it is, the other stuff they're doing. It's such a sham. Trump requested up to 20,000 extra National Guard troops for that event. Pelosi denied it. There's so many fishy things to this, folks. I mean, it's 100% political. I mean, and then, okay, if that January 6th was so bad, what about the, quote, the summer riots of 2020? I mean, what about, you know, left-wing violence, vandalism, rioting, all the cops? I remember one time there were like 685 cops nationally had been injured. Buildings have been destroyed, burnt down, iconic pieces of our history torn down, statues, anyone who got in their way beat. You remember seeing the videos, people getting beat in the streets. They finally stopped. Did you ever notice that? When did they stop? When the killings began. Like Kyle Rittenhouse, who just got off. Folks, that was a brutal experience for Kyle. I believe God will recompense him for that. But it was super providential because he was so ideal. His intentions were pure. He had documentation of where he'd been, what he'd done. He hadn't broken any laws. The media lied to us about all these things. And they don't apologize, and they don't make it right, and you get the CNN grab where people are blurting and banging all these lies out there, all this racist rhetoric. And then all of a sudden he gets off, and the facts come out in court, and they don't say a word. But it's once the guns came out, they stopped. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that sort of what you would expect with our Second Amendment, that you would be able to defend yourself? You know how many people bailed out on high-end condos and apartments in North Seattle, West Seattle, during the Chaz and CHOP riots and takeovers and Summer of Love, you know, burning things up, and just a bunch of goofs, a bunch of mentals. You know, and people were bailing out of their homes by the thousands and leaving. Don't you think in an appropriate America, they would, if they, you know, maybe they can't handle a gun, but hire a mercenary. I mean, hire security. Are there not security companies that can provide that level of service? What if you're a big shot celebrity and you need someone to protect you? I mean, you know, there needs to be force with force. It's like police need to escalate force above what is being committed to them. Well, that's what you need to do in life. You have a right to protect your own property. Just like the Merchant Marines were created in the Constitution for the United States government to be able to hire out mercenary behavior, which actually in a lot of cases would be very smart. But in the same way, we should be able to do the same as an individual, you know, and if you can't handle it yourself or whatever. I wanted to bounce real quick. I was talking to a friend who's been a lobbyist for way too long in D.C., and he was telling me, he's the one that was telling me that the Bidens are committed to getting $1 billion out of there in their first four-year term. And so is Hillary, and that's why she wants back in to do the same thing. They want their third run, their third Obama term. They know, they realize now it was so good stealing all that money. It felt so good to them. They want to go back and do it again, okay? So that's what Biden's doing, and that's why this next infrastructure bill, you know, when you get into the trillions, missing a few billion doesn't even show up on the chart. But the other thing he was telling me from an internal source at the White House is Biden has this, first of all, his dementia is just beyond ridiculous. And he's also got this terrifying fear of COVID. You might have saw him on the beach recently with his wife. No one's within 100 yards. It's windy, salt water, blowing, beautiful-ish day, playing with his dog with his mask on. His wife doesn't have one on, but he's terrified. He's terrified to death. You know what makes you terrified of that? Godlessness. When I see people with masks and I talk to them, it's godlessness. They don't have their faith in a God. They have their faith in this moment. What is the purpose of your life at that point? I can't even begin to tell you. But I can tell you that it's not filled with joy and confidence. Fear of death. Well, we all, you know, dying is, you know, how you die is scary. I mean, just the pain and suffering and loss and all that. But death in and of itself shouldn't scare a believer. We do get attached to this earth, and God's maybe created us that way, obviously, with a strong survival instinct, because otherwise we'd be dropping off like flies when we learned about heaven, you know. Check out the next phase. So Biden's got this crazy fear. Now you've got everyone overreacting to this new Omicron variant. I've talked about this thing. This thing's as phony as a $3 bill. It's just, it's killed no one. The cases are all over. Who cares? It's the flu. We are now staring at the flu with a microscope. And we are trying to stop what's unstoppable since we've learned virology. In time, maybe they will learn something from this. But it won't be that masks work. Masks are a deceptive lie, and we've got to get rid of them. And I encourage you to do so. So, this is as of maybe a week ago, 40 million, they say, cases of Omicron. 40 million. And less than 10 deaths. Okay? In other words, no deaths. They're finding now, statistics came out last week, that they're way off the charts, you know, 4 or 5 to 10 to 1 of reporting COVID. People come in with one issue, like an injury or whatever to ER, get swabbed and tested. Hey, you got COVID. Boom. All of a sudden, there they are, hospitalized for COVID. That's how the CDC records and tracks all this stuff. So they're basically calibrating our lives as if the flu was unacceptable. They've got you thinking the flu's unacceptable. Then there's a new variant, IHU or something, and they've spent over $2 trillion on this thing, and there's no data supposedly available. Teachers' unions are shutting teachers down, not letting them go back to work. They're not showing up, but they're not getting fired. Chicago is out of control with that and many others. And, you know, how many shots do we need to take? How many boosters do you need? Do you trust the mega pharmaceutical companies to keep jamming chemicals into our bodies? I don't. You know, what are we doing? Why are we this foolish, right? One last thing I have here. I'm about out of time. You may have saw Betty White, you know, the sweet old actress that just died. She had her booster shot two or three days before, fact, and said, everyone needs to get their boosters, blah, blah, blah. She got her booster shot, died. Be careful. I'm not a big fan of any of it. If you're going to do it, don't do it when you're old. The stuff will knock your knees right out. I've also wanted to remind you, if you want to give us some positive five-star reviews online, business-related, we'll give you a couple silver dollars. Just call us. We'll verify it, or come in. We'll verify it, and then we'll give them to you. It's just, and trust me, it's worth our time if you've done business with us to get you out there doing that. That amount that we give is going to end soon. Silver dollars just keep going up and up and up, which is fun. But if you'd be so kind, and if you want to, you know, invest money, just come on in, or you can try to call. We're always short on the phone. We don't have appropriate staff even yet to handle the phones properly. And my daughter's out there just pounding it day in and day out, and she's a worker, I'll tell you. But basically, I guess with very little time left, where I'm at right now is I'm just telling you, get assets, get hard assets, get your money parked in a hard asset. You know, people want to do 401k rollovers and all that stuff. I would say be careful, you know, it's just get it out. You can go, if you have an employer contribution, take advantage of that, then pull it out. But other than that, just pay, but put post-tax savings aside so you can hang on to it. Day's going to come, you're not going to be able to access that stuff. And it could be overnight where your money's just gone and you're just trying to get at it, and it's a concern. So build yourself a nice nest egg. It doesn't have to be every penny you have, but just a good, safe haven when things turn south, because the Bible tells us to do that. So thank you once again for tuning in. I appreciate it. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.